Hey everybody, I'm Jeff, and this is Casual Chats in a Parallel Universe. My dad and I have been having daily conversations about family, history, life lessons, movies, news, music, and more. Now we are sharing these chats with you. So welcome to our podcast, and we hope you enjoy.
You look different. What did you do? Did you change your head shape or something?
Maybe.
Did you put your head in a suction device
for the new season?
Oh.
Yeah. Right. Season two.
Wow.
Yep. Went in for, they shaved my skull down a little.
Oh, that was it.
For the new season. Mm. That's what I had done. Took a power sander.
Sleek.
To my head. So here we are.
Oh, we've arrived.
Oh, we're back.
We've Tranquility Base here.
Well,
the eagle has landed. I thought we decided to we're going to do a you story today.
Okay. But are you happy to be back? Let's get into that a little bit.
Am I happy?
Yeah, I mean, we completed our first season.
Anytime I see your face, I'm happy. Happy. I'm happy.
Except maybe for the shape of my head. You know,
Well, not even that. Anytime I see you, it's a positive.
Okay.
All right. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, I appreciate that. I feel that's equal over here on this side of the table.
See my progeny percolating on the other side of the table.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And I mean, we did have some talks yesterday, I believe, about, you know, the show and how we felt about it. And that we felt that, you know, our show really provided a soothing patter to, you know, what's going on in the world today.
Was it soothing patter? Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or a soothe. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess patter. It was soothing. Yeah. Those were the words that popped up.
Yes. We also said that we were assuaging.
Assuaging the
panic.
Yes.
And negativity in the world today.
Yes, that's it.
As well.
Putting a positive. Tending to put a positive spin on life in general.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, we were
telling
you
stories.
Know, that you had really strong right and left voices out there right now screaming into both of your ears, and that we are here to just give you a nice, you know, simmer, a nice medium, you know, hey.
Yeah.
So, tune in, enjoy.
That's it.
You know?
Yeah. We're into storytelling.
Yeah.
We're not into nastiness.
No.
In general,
we're not. I mean, we do have opinions, on certain issues.
We can get nasty if necessary.
If we need to
be a hater.
There, you know. But yeah. And we're also looking for sponsorship out there.
We are.
As well.
Oh.
To which, we might have a bite on one.
That's true. We might have two, actually.
We might have two. I mean, we could actually put in the call right now and see if we can, you know, hold the feet to the coals and get them on air
the embarrassment.
A sponsorship.
Say, listen, we've got a bunch of people on the phone with us. Are you in?
Yeah. And at what tier?
At what tier?
Yeah, what level?
That's it.
Are we going
the Ultima or the Supremo?
Right.
Or whichever.
I mean, do you want access to the private jet? You know, what's going on?
And then where in the private jet?
Right.
On the wing?
Yes.
In the fuselage?
Yes. In the back or
behind the engine?
Smoking or non-smoking?
That's it.
So... But I'm excited. I'm happy to be back. I'm glad that we're doing another season. As you were saying, I enjoy doing this.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's fun.
Yep.
Having a good time with it. And so. Segue.
Into.
Yes. So you would like to delve into my world, is what you're saying.
Well, I think we had talked about, we've done a number of my, even though there are many more businesses left to talk about. Because I have
delved into many things, the audience would like to hear.
On the other hand, they have the our listening audience has not had the opportunity to hear about some of your endeavors,
right?
And we had talked about the possibility of discussing your initial move out of after college.
Yes.
Your first shot
at
compensation for hire.
Which was amazing.
You were an employee, as I recall. Or was he playing you as a...
Oh, no, that's you're jumping ahead. There was another gig before that gig.
Oh, before the dean?
That was ultimately what formed the incredible production company known as Camco Productions.
Well, yeah. But I was...
Which, you know, I think is...
That's true.
Yeah. Do you want me to tell my story or do you want to tell my story for me?
I would never do that.
Let's not get negative. Let's not do that.
I'm trying to keep the hate not out of the whole thing here.
Let me just assuage your
yes. Let me chill.
Let that be the word of the day.
So how did that start?
I graduated college. Yep. Happened 1998. From
University of Colorado.
University of Colorado Boulder. Yep. Yep. Which
world's
interestingly
most
enough, I'd never really found out the story of why the University of Colorado took on the moniker of CU rather than UC.
UC, right.
Other than it would be confusing with all of the University of California schools. So maybe they felt their marketing department felt that, who knows. But anyway, yes, CU Boulder is my alma mater. Really enjoyed my time there. If you've never been to Boulder, I would highly suggest it. And all it takes is one visit to fall in love.
It is, I call it the world's most beautiful campus.
Yep.
It really with the mountains in the background and that gorgeous, just beautiful campus.
I mean, most college campuses are beautiful. They are. And I mean, they should be with the amount of money it costs to go to college. But yes, I loved it there. Thought it was fantastic. And one of my film professors, a great guy, Jerry Aronson, also somewhat of a mentor of mine. And a fellow student / colleague, Rob Camage, shout out. We both kind of graduated sort of at the top of our class creatively. We both kind of came away from the film showings with high marks, on some of the films that we made. And so Jerry felt that Rob and I would link up well together. And he had gotten a call from a fellow buff. CU's mascot is the Buffaloes. So a fellow buff that worked for Glacier National Park or Glacier Park Incorporated. And they do all the hospitality in and around Glacier National Park, hotels and such. And they were looking for someone to come in and shoot some videos so that they could do some employee recruitment. And Jerry put us together and said, I thought you guys could really work well together and go out and do this. And so we did. Actually, Rob had since moved to California. He hadn't yet because we had just graduated. So before he was moving to California and before he did, we went off to Glacier to go shoot this video for them. And we spent, I think, maybe 2 weeks up in Glacier, which, I mean, it was a fantastic, what a job, you know, especially straight out of college. I was 23, 24 years old. And hey, come up and just cruise around the national park. And we want you to shoot our different hotels and, you know, talk to some employees that work here and show off, you know, what Glacier's all about.
Right.
And I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better gig.
Well, plus it was your introduction also into the financial side of the business too, because you were dealing with budgets,
right?
And costs.
Yeah, we had to submit a proposal and all that kind of stuff to make sure it was
the whole nine yards. It wasn't just a couple of guys shooting a bunch of stuff, and this was a true
production.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like there wasn't a ton of thought around the financials as far as we were concerned. Obviously, we wanted to make some money off of it. And I think we ended up, say it was like a couple of grand. It really wasn't that much money in the grand scheme of things. But to Rob and I, we thought we were like, this is amazing.
Yeah. You know, we didn't lose money.
No.
That's the big deal.
Not by any means.
So,
but I mean, looking at it now, after, you know, being older and understanding how much time we put into it, you may feel that we did lose some money on it because we didn't account for the amount of time that it would take to put everything together.
Yeah.
But we just kind of were shooting from the hip.
But you also gained huge experience.
Very much so. Yes. And never had been to Glacier before and got to really go and explore and just have fun, you know, up there, have a great time. And so we cruised up there and shot for, you know, a couple of weeks and had a lot of fun and came back and cut the video together and that was it. And then I had thought, hey, maybe this could be something that we could shop around. Maybe there's some other, you know, national parks. They do the same sort of thing. And Leon, who was the guy that hired us, had some contacts and we called around I pushed to try and make it happen, but it didn't come off. And no, yeah. I mean, they weren't really interested in that kind of stuff. So unfortunately it was a one-off, but it was super good time.
Right.
And it helped us form the amazing production company known as Camco Productions.
Camco. Right.
Yes. Which I don't think we produced anything more than we did a follow-up video later
for Glacier
also under Camco, but that was really about it.
Well, I don't think I remember we had dinner one night, you and I and Rob.
And Rob, yeah.
At Il Fornaio in Manhattan Beach. I remember talking about the Camco.
Yeah, that was much later. I mean, I remember sitting down with Rob and you and me at, I think it was Tulagi's in Boulder, you know, not long after we had graduated and discussed how we would start the company and doing all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Setting up an LLC.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know, you know, that type of stuff is not taught.
Right.
You know, especially when you're a creative.
Right.
You know, you're focusing on how do I create this project.
Right.
But there's no real thought into the budgeting and what it takes to kind of put everything together, put a business together. Which is why, and now looking back and, you know, watching my daughter, who is a creative, kind of go find her way, I have tried to impress upon her to try and get some sort of business, you know, foundation while she's at school, if she chooses to kind of go that route. But then from there, I was still living in Boulder at the time and ended up moving out to Denver and really just kind of floundering around, not sure what to do with myself. I wanted to stay in Denver.
Right.
I wanted to live in Denver because I just loved Colorado. I loved being out there. And I didn't want to have to leave. So I didn't really get any gigs. There wasn't a real scene out there. I kind of interviewed with a couple production companies that were there, but they, you know, my mind was big. I wanted to be in the big budget stuff. And
you wanted to ultimately be a film director.
Sure.
I remember that was your ultimate goal was to try to be a film director. Yeah.
But I was a little unmotivated coming out of school. And
well, what did your other, I know you wanted to stay, your whole deal was you just loved Colorado. And
I did.
And you really wanted to stay there. What did your fellow classmates end up doing what did Rob ended up moving out to California?
Yeah, Rob moved out to California. I mean, it's interesting when I look at there was a graduation picture, and I don't know where most people went, but there are a couple of people in our graduating film class that have that are very successful. One gentleman was an audio engineer and kind of stayed in that field, and has since, he lives and works in LA and has since gone on, and I think they've produced audio for films that have won Academy Awards in that field.
Oh, wow.
Which is amazing. And then I have another guy in our class who has gone on to write and direct feature films that have been very successful, and he's gone on to work in the Marvel universe and just done some really incredible stuff. Right. And he wrote and directed a film that I watched it's one of my favorite films. I think it's fantastic.
What would that be?
The film is called A Cabin in the Woods. And it's a horror film, you know, but it really is. It's so creative in the way that he goes about, you know, laying the story out and how it's done. And I thought it was great. And he's actually a really nice guy. But obviously he went on and, you know, there's.
But several other of your classmates did move to California, right? To LA?
I mean, I guess so. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, all I know is Rob is really the only one that I had kept in touch with from my graduating class.
Oh, okay.
I didn't really keep
the rest of the guys me. Were
there's actually one gentleman stayed in Colorado, and he does a lot of work out of there and built his own little production company. His name is Jason Tahara. You know, I can see him on Facebook. We're friends, but we don't, you know, it's not like we're.
Well, anyway, to get back on kind of on track.
Yeah. I was floundering around. I couldn't really, you know, I was somewhat unmotivated. Couldn't really figure out what I wanted to do. Ended up taking a job at a restaurant and bar because I had to pay rent. I had to do something. I mean, so started shaking wings, went back to knowing what I, you know, something I did in the past.
Was it that American mm-hmm. cafe?
That's it. American, I think it was American Bar and Grill or something like that. Went there.
Yeah, I remember.
Was flipping burgers and shaking wings.
Yeah, but making.
And came up with my own little wing recipe that I loved. And
making the monthly nut. Making enough money to live.
I mean, at that point, you know, it was just me and that was it.
You know?
I basically just needed to make rent, more or less, and to fill up the gas tank in the Durango, which was probably the heftiest part of it all.
Yeah.
But then I, in kind of searching around, I fell upon film and video equipment service company. Which is where I met No Deal Dean, one of my dad's favorite characters.
Yeah, I love Dean.
Who was just at the end of the day, he's just a harsh businessman, you know.
Tough cookie.
Yeah. He it was all business all the time. And you know, and what he did is they were the largest camera house in the Midwest. And so they serviced and supplied camera gear to, you know, whoever needed it in and around.
Well, you might tell our audience a little, because I was totally unaware of the way the TV production business. I figured, you know, all the production, all the people that produce films have all their own equipment and they carry it all over the world.
Sure.
So that people might want to understand, why was Dean's business even there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so that's one way to think about it. But of course, I mean, if you have any business sense whatsoever, you realize that lugging around immense amounts of camera equipment to anywhere, you know, I mean, even if you're traveling to Europe, obviously, and to take thousands of pounds of camera gear is insane. I mean, the just to transport it from one place to another, and then you got to transport it back, and then there's a chance that stuff's going to break. And so it always makes sense that wherever you're shooting on location, you know, I mean, of course, you may have a director of photography that has his baby camera that he has to bring with him or some light that has to be there. But most of the time, everything is rented from a rental house. And that's how they provide it. Unless it's shot on a studio lot where they have their own, you know, warehouse of gear there.
So that was Dean's business.
And that was Dean's business. He had a rental house, the largest rental house in the Midwest.
So he had oodles of cameras,
yep,
dollies, lights,
everything that you might need to create not only a big budget from the largest type of film down to, you know, a very small production, whatever you need. And back then, this was before, you know, digital really took over. So they had a lot of 35 and 16 millimeter cameras, which is film.
Right.
But they also did have a video department as well. And that was more for television. That was before cameras had really kind of taken the leap that you could shoot, you know, and have a film look. And I really wanted to learn film. And I jumped in there at the bottom of the barrel gig, which was in the grip department. And the grip department handles stuff like dolly gear, you know, it's a track, the dolly itself, like handling what they call flags, which are, you know, these 2x3 or larger 4x4 pieces of equipment that you use to help manipulate light, you know, when you're helping to block light and it's basically the Tinker Toys of, if you know what Tinker Toys are, though, sure. I'm kind of dating myself with that, but for the younger audience, it's like the, or Legos, if you will, it's that kind of stuff, that you would use to kind of put together in a film. And so I started out in that department and fixing that stuff. I learned how to solder things together, which I had never really done before. And, learned how to fix a dolly and all that kind of fun stuff. Right. And then as I was working, obviously the guy that was working in the camera department left. And as you know, I'm always, you know, when I commit to a job, it's always 100%. So I'm there on time. I'm usually there early, you know, stay late. I'm always working hard. And so the person in the camera department left. Dean knew that I wanted to, you know, move into that department. And because I was always in there talking to them. And he was like, look, we'll get you in here and give you a raise. This is kind of the stuff. And so I made my foray into the camera department and was able to get my hands on, you know, I wasn't shooting anything, just really. And a lot of it is basically all the gear comes back in and you do like these, you know, 10 point, 15 point, 20 point checks on all the gear. You got to go over it, make sure everything's lubricated, everything's operating the way it should be. You work with the lenses, make sure the lenses, you know, that there's no focus issues or, you know, whatever, the glass in the lenses would come back sometimes and it would be askew and you have to figure that out. And then they had a lens guy that would then take the lenses apart and put them back together and all this kind of stuff. Interesting side note, the lens guy that they had ended up getting arrested for being a pedophile. Coincidentally enough, this guy that sat in this room that was airtight, like you'd go back in there and it was, he'd close the door and obviously the air is like, you know, and because there's no, you can't have any dust,
right?
Because the littlest piece of dust that ends up on the glass when you put the lens back together can screw everything up. But strange guy, and obviously I was never involved in any of that.
Well, of course not.
Because they took the guy out of the building in handcuffs, and I had no idea what was going on, and someone clued me in. So yeah, I worked in the camera department, and you know, I did the job and did it well, and. At one point, the guy who was heading up the camera department, it was kind of like I was basically being groomed to take over. I could have stayed and taken that job over and overseen Dean's camera department. But that did not interest me in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Being, you know, screwing things in and lubricating things and cleaning filters and doing all that kind of stuff. It just didn't have any interest. You know, I'm a creative. I'm not someone who.
But were there opportunities to meet interesting people or not? Not much.
I mean, they're sort of, but not really. I mean, because the idea was, is that you weren't going to leave, that you were going to stay.
You didn't
and
do anything.
Take all this over. Yeah. So they kind of kept that network at arm's length from you.
So Dean was the guy with all the connections.
Absolutely.
So 100%. You aren't really being given the opportunity to.
Nobody was calling in. Nobody was calling in to talk to me. Right, that's for sure.
And he made sure that the likelihood of that happening was small as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. He wanted to keep it. He was. That was a proprietary thing. His connections in the and I guess he had pretty significant connections in the film business.
I mean, they must have had enough to keep it going. I mean, but you know, look, when you're the biggest rental house. And I mean, they had such an array of gear.
It was a huge place.
It really was. And they were doing sales as well. So it wasn't like they were just, you know, it was just rental. They were selling equipment too. And I mean, you know, this is when the Pepsi Center had been built. And so they were doing a lot with, you know, the Pepsi Center there, which is where the Avalanche and the Nuggets do play. And, you know, I think they supplied, you know, cameras as well at Mile High and all that kind of stuff. Any of the big productions around town, they were kind of the go-to for that kind of stuff as well.
So you kind of figured out that this was going nowhere.
Yeah.
As far as you were concerned,
creatively, it definitely was. So, it was, I felt like I didn't go to film school to sit in a rental house And blow off filters,
clean cameras,
which is what I was doing a lot of, you know, and it was monotonous work.
Yeah.
It really was.
So it was basically working like a mechanic.
More or less.
Yeah. So
there were very few interesting cases that would come in that you would feel like, oh, this is really fulfilling me, you know.
So what did you do after that then? How did you segue into your next?
So here comes Leon. Leon comes back. Oh. And this is, you know, a couple of years later, and wanted us to do a follow-up video because we did such a bang-up job on the original video.
For Glacier,
that he wanted us to come in and do a follow-up video. And not only did we do a bang-up job, but comparatively speaking, to try and bring somebody else in that really knows what they're doing. Not that we didn't, but you know, someone older or more experienced was going to cost them a lot more money to bring in some younger guys.
Right.
Obviously we don't have the overhead. So of course Rob and I were like, yeah, get to go spend a couple of weeks in Glacier. I mean, it was basically a vacation, paid vacation.
Right. So what had Rob done?
Rob moved to LA.
Right.
And was living there with, you know, a few, I think three other guys that also went to Boulder. Not all of them were in the industry.
Right.
They were just doing their thing.
He was freelancing.
They were just trying to cut their teeth in the industry and do their best. And him and one of my other very close friends, Steven Stormer, were working for a company that did a lot of entertainment news. And so they would do what they call, you know, they would do interviews and they would do these things called junkets, which are basically little, you know, when you see the actor of a movie with like the movie poster in the background and they're talking about, they have like a quip about what happened in the movie.
Right.
Usually that's happening somewhere in multiple outlets. And by outlets, I mean local news stations, E! Entertainment News, Access Hollywood, like all these people are kind of rotating through a room and the actor basically is on repeat.
And they were doing that.
And they would do that kind of stuff.
Got it.
They would either, you know, Rob was mostly shooting it because that's what he enjoyed doing was camera work.
Right.
And Stormer was often doing producer work.
So who did Leon get in touch with? With me. Jerry? Oh, he got in touch with
you? Yeah, no, he got back in touch with me.
Oh, okay. And then you called Rob.
And I asked, I called Rob to see if he would be interested in, you know, flying out and we do the gig again. And so he did. And with the idea that I would fly back to LA and we would edit it in LA, because we no longer had when we had cut it before, we cut it at a place that Rob had been working at in Boulder, a place called People Productions, which was a super small production company in Boulder that Rob had been working at.
Right.
So we didn't have access to any of that kind of stuff anymore. But Rob had the ability to, they had started coming out with programs now like Final Cut and Adobe Premiere, where you could, you know, cut these things at home on your own computer.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And so we shot it and subsequently went back to LA. And while we were there, I was just had such a great time hanging out
right
with them and cruising out to the different spots and just really enjoyed my time. And had told them, hey, you know, if you ever have a spot that opens up, I'd love to come out, you know, and live out here. It seems like you got a nice group of people out here and could be a lot of fun.
Right.
And not only that, of course, you know, it's the center of the world as far as the film industry goes. Sure. If you're not going to move to New York, it's LA.
Right.
And I really think it's even LA more than New York. Because what I was listening to something most recently, and they talked about how LA is really an industry town, where in New York, you know, you bump into people and people are doing all kinds of different things there. You know, it's not just about the movie business.
Right.
There's so much going on there. But when you bump into people in LA, it's always, you know, what are you working on? What's going on here?
Right.
You know, it's always people just trying to break it.
Right.
In Hollywood. And so I had said to him, if you ever have a spot open up, you know, they kind of lived in the ghetto area
in Hawthorne.
So we were right on the outskirts of Compton, basically.
Yep. Gangville.
But they had this house and it was super cool. And, you know, I mean, you wouldn't have known it from where they lived that there was any,
right.
You know, it didn't seem dangerous.
Right. But they were, these guys were still all freelancers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're just running they're basically networking and finding gigs. And so what was the next step? So you said, okay.
I mean, at that point in time, it's like, look, we're 25, 26 years old.
Right.
It was less about, hey, you know, we're really networking here. We're really trying to break it. And it was more about like having fun, chasing girls,
there you go.
You know, and just enjoying our lives.
Sure.
Less than about, hey, we really need to be, you know, trying to make it in
right,
the business.
Right.
And while that was all there, while that was the dream of it all, you know, it was really about like meeting people and just having a great time.
Right. So so after you finished the Glacier deal,
back to LA.
Yeah.
And
cut it and put it all together.
Yep.
Then did you go back to Denver or did you? Oh, so you went back to Denver?
Yeah, because I had told him, I was like, look, you know, of course, if a spot ever opens up, I'd love to come live with you guys. That'd be great. And then I went from there. We finished it up, cut it, you know, delivered it. And I went back to Denver.
So you went back to Dean. I mean, to Dean's. Did you go back working for him or you just started freelancing out in Denver?
Yeah, no, I was still working at
Dean's shop.
F. Vesco is what they called it. Film Video Equipment Service Company.
Yeah.
F. Vesco.
Because I remember you and I talking about, you know, you just weren't happy there.
There was a number of different things that were going on.
And yeah.
It had gotten to a point of where I was kind of, I was on the verge of like being really depressed.
Yeah.
Like while I was great friends with my roommate, that had run its course at the time. And, you know, we weren't living in a great part of town and, you know, just things weren't working. At Vesco was really depressing. You know, it's just the overall atmosphere there was oppressive. And, you know, it just all of it together. I didn't really have much of a social life.
Right.
You know, I mean, we would go out, but it just wasn't exciting. I wasn't really dating anybody right. at the time.
So was there a moment in time where all of a sudden it crystallized and you said, you know what, I'm out of here?
There was. Well, at your and mom's, you know, kind of behest after I'd come back from LA, I think it was kind of a topic of discussion. And I think I was in Jacksonville for something. Maybe it might have been when Pop passed away or something like that. Mm. There was my grandfather on my mom's side had passed away. And I think I was in Jacksonville maybe for that. But, you know, you guys were really pushing me. And I had said what fun I had had out there. And, you know, you guys, and I was like, but, you know, Rob, they don't really have, you know, I can't move in with them. They don't have the space for it. And I think you were like, look, just go out there, regardless of whether you're going to live with them or anybody else. If
you can always go back.
So just, you know, get out from where you are, because clearly you're not happy. And so
you did.
But then something happened.
Wow.
I get a phone call. While we're in Publix, we're in the supermarket, and we had kind of just been talking, like, I think you had really put the press on about getting out of there. And I kind of had made the decision, okay, we're going to pack it up and leave Denver
right.
and head to LA. And, I was in the mindset like, okay, this is going to happen. I kind of come to terms with it, and I'm going to go back to Colorado and pack up my stuff and get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately I love it, but it's got to go and life goes on and it's time for a new adventure. So here we go.
Yep.
And, but then I was at the grocery store and I get this phone call out of the blue. And, that phone call kind of changed the trajectory of how I, was going to make this move.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. So,
and who was that from?
Well, you'll have to wait till the next episode.
Okay. All right.
Find out.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, I know my story isn't as interesting as being held at gunpoint.
You know. Is this similar to being held at gunpoint?
No, not yet.
Oh, not yet.
No.
Oh,
no.
But it gets that way. Not really.
No, no. No, it doesn't.
But it was definitely a crossroads. You came to a crossroads.
I mean, man, I was in a tough way. So it was, I wasn't like destitute or anything like that. I mean, we were living and doing our stuff, but it was just, I don't know.
You weren't living underneath.
I wasn't living the way, it wasn't what I thought I wanted to do. You know, I wasn't living the way that I envisioned it.
Right.
Coming out of college, right. You know, I envisioned coming out of college, I'm going to take over. We're going to take over the world.
You were going to be in the Oscars, right? Right off the bat.
Right. In life, you go through all these different rebirths. And here's another womb that I needed to leave and have another kind of rebirth.
Transplant you into another womb.
In some respect, yeah.
Yeah.
But it just, I needed, you know, as Sarah said, I needed it to me the other day, she needs a reset. I needed a reset. I needed to, you know, figure some shit out.
And there you go.
And the way to do that is let's go on an adventure. Let's go, man. Go live life.
That's it.
Because that's really what needs to be done.
Shut that car door, turn on the ignition, and move out.
And get the fuck going.
Get moving.
That's it. So.
All right.
That's what I did. Heading on down the highway.
We'll bring that on.
Yeah.
All right.
Put on the music.
Well, it's a good point for me to hit the head.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll leave that bit in there.